and welcome to episode 20 of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. We have a great show for you this week. Kicking things off, Neil, Zach, and Patrick talk about news, all the exciting stuff that we missed last week. After that, Zach and Patrick are joined by long-lost connectable Andy Gergen to talk about the 3DS's durability, whether or not the hardware is kind of shoddy. Closing things out, Neil, Zach, and Patrick once again get together to talk about the eShop and all the great new games and demos that are available for it. So sit back and enjoy.
All right, I'm with Zach Miller.
Yes.
And Patrick Barnett.
It's me.
And I'm Neil Ronahan, and we're going to discuss the news, hit some listener mail. Let's get right into the news, and let's talk about the kind of big stuff that came out of the financial results briefing last week. First off, let's get it out of the way. Yes, Nintendo posted a loss for like the first time in 30 years. It's a lot of money. People might think they're screwed. They're not. They have like billions of dollars or billions of yen in reserve. I think they're going to be fine. Unless the Wii U fails, then we're pretty screwed. But anyway, let's get to the actual stuff that we want to talk about instead of boring sales stuff. So there's going to be a new 2D Mario game coming out within the fiscal year. So that means...
Yes.
Most likely either this holiday season or early 2013, by March 31st, 2013 at the latest, we're going to have a totally new 2D Mario game.
But you guys know it's just going to be like new Super Mario Brothers 3D, right?
Probably, or newer Super Mario Brothers, or totally new Super Mario Brothers, because that's how we want to refer to it as, was that it was totally new.
Oh, so, I see. Well, there you go.
Maybe it'll be tubular, and maybe the turtles will be in it, and they'll say cowabunga.
Unlockable characters.
But this kind of surprised me, because I think what we all kind of assumed was that new Super Mario Brothers Me title, the demo experience that was shown off at E3 last year for Wii U, I kind of assumed that was going to be a Wii U launch title.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that they would kind of position two side-scrolling Mario games in the same holiday season. Or, I mean, at the very least, if you're going to mention this 3DS side-scrolling Mario game at the financial briefing, and there was something where, let's say, like the Wii U version and the 3DS version would connect in some way.
Oh.
Why wouldn't you mention that there's going to be a Wii U and a 3DS version of the game, similar to how they talked about there was going to be a Smash Brothers Wii U and a 3DS version back at E3 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads me to believe that maybe we're not going to see new Super Mario Brothers Me as a launch title for Wii U, and instead we're going to see this 3DS 2D Mario game instead. What do you guys think?
I think they're going to push this to get it out by Christmas, probably, because they saw how well Super Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7 sold this past year.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to push that up and push back new Super Mario Brothers Me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that'll wind up being a 2013 release.
Yeah.
I mean, that could very well be possible, because then, you know, it's a new Mario game every year. But yeah.
Yes, good. Let's serialize Mario.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that kind of annoys me, is that some people are like, God, another Mario game. It's like the last side-scrolling Mario game. I mean, I guess you could kind of say that 3D Land's, like, inspired by that. But the last new one was New Super Mario Bros. Wii. And by the time this game comes out, that game's 3 years old.
That's true. But can we all agree that the new Super Mario games feel really lazy?
I thought the DS one did. I really enjoyed the Wii one. I think, you know, for having that four-player mechanic, that was really novel. And it was very, you know, innovative and unique at the time.
I played the whole game co-op, and it was a lot more fun that way, I think.
Oh,
I
really?
I played probably the first four worlds co-op, because I ended up, when I got it, then I had two friends over, and we just burned through the first four or five worlds. Oh. And then I finished the game single player, and I still enjoyed it, but really playing that with multiple people is a great time, because it's really, I mean, you're assholes to each other throughout the entire thing.
Right.
It's part of the reason why I feel like I'm missing out a little bit with Rayman Origins, because I haven't played that co-op yet.
Yeah. Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess we have a 2D side-scrolling Mario to look forward to, which is kind of weird because I don't really care. Like, I'll get it, I'll play it, that sounds fun, but, like, the Super Mario 3D Land, like, that excited me from the moment I heard about it.
Yeah.
And this game is just kind of like, eh, you know, it is what it is. Maybe, like, he'll be in a penguin suit again. I thought that was fun. But, I mean, I feel like I'm more apt to go back and replay either the classic 2D games or stuff like, you know, Super Mario 64 and Galaxy, yeah, as opposed to, like, go back and replay New Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, well, I guess let's move on to the next news story, and we'll take a quick detour from the financial reports briefing to talk about Resident Evil Revelations, with Zach is now in possession of, or Resident Evil Revelations, as there is a misspelling on the spine label.
Right.
Which is very humorous. I guess maybe because of the misspelling of the spine label, or for some other arcane reasons, like the fact that I think pre-orders were very, very low, Resident Evil Revelations, which was previously announced as $50, is going to go back down to $40.
Well, that's
which
nice.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah. Still don't know why it was a high price to begin with, but whatever.
I think it's a direct result of pre-orders.
Or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they had pre-orders that were high for the $50 game, I think it'd still be $50.
Oh, I agree.
But
yeah.
I think that's part of the reason.
So, I have played the game for 4 hours. If you own a 3DS, you should buy it.
All right, now, I'll ask you this, and I assume you might not have a full answer yet, because you're, I would assume, just close to halfway through the game, if it's a 10-hour game.
No, yeah, I guess
What makes this stand out from other Resident Evil games?
Well, it's slower paced than 4 or 5. There's a lot more focus on, I mean, if you guys played the demo, you know this, a lot more focus on scanning the environment for stuff, which does not bother me. I can see it bugging some people, but, you know, thankfully, you know, you don't have to scan the room to find, like, a key. Like, the key will be there. But ammo is really pretty scarce by itself in this game. But if you scan the room, you'll find often more ammo, which is very helpful. But, you know, the game does such a good job of sucking you in. And if you use headphones, the music, the sound is amazing. And it's just like a full Resident Evil game on a handheld, and it's spooky. Like Resident Evil 4 and 5, those weren't really scary at all. They were more like stressful. Cause you know, like in Resident Evil 4, you'd get into a room and there'd be a whole bunch of dudes in there. You're like, oh shit, I gotta kill them all. You're not really scared. You're just more like you're stressed out cause you have to deal with all these dudes.
Yeah. Like you need to crowd control.
Right. And this game is like the opposite. Like it really builds tension well, and you'll walk into a room and there's like, oh, one bad guy, but he's hard to take down. And you know, the whole time, you know, for the last 10 minutes before that, it's been kind of ramping up to something. So it's pretty cool. And the first boss is hard, but it's excellent.
Cool. That is very, very good to hear.
And you get to look at Jill's sweet ass the whole time.
Only you, Zach. Only you. So also in the financial briefing, moving on from the Resident Evil Revelations, talk.
I always thought of it as Resident Evil Revelations, like your relations. Like maybe Jill is having relations with that Parker dude. I don't know. Although he's annoying as shit.
Yeah, I heard some of the characters that they introduce are really bad.
Yeah, they are. Like, and because because this is a interquel game, you just know the story's not going to have anything to do with the other Resident Evil games.
Yeah. So we also found out with part of this investor thing that the Wii U controller is going to feature near field communication functions.
That's cool.
Basically, it's like the Skylanders Portal of Power, but without the portal, and it's just a controller. So, like, you could have a card, it can make, you know, entering credit card information really easy. Or you could, you know, buy cards or buy an actual physical item, object, and put that in the game.
That's nice.
And that sounds pretty cool.
That means Skylanders, the next Pokemon man. Is going to be that.
Yeah. I have no problem with this. I embrace our Skylanders. I'm going to be broke future.
In the last staff says, I mentioned how something about Pikmin 3 using figurines like Skylanders did. And with this announcement, that's kind of something somewhat in the realm of possibility.
You will have to buy Pikmin figures for each individual Pikmin.
Like, I don't see them doing each individual Pikmin. But...
$8 a pop.
I mean, that could be part of how, you know, Pikmin 3 will leverage the Wii U controller. It could use near-field communication.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be kind of cool. I'm very, very excited for that game. And the more I hear about the Wii U, I get more excited for that. To see what the hell it's going to be. We did find out some of what the online potentially might be. As Nintendo made Nintendo Network an official thing, it showed up on the box art for games such as Theta Rhythm. And it just kind of looked like it was replacing the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. But this is actually going to be something kind of wholly new. Or at least an improvement. It's going to be for 3DS and Wii U. And instead of focusing on specific features, Nintendo wants to have a comprehensive service. So basically you can have the communities built into it. You can have tournaments and digital content all through this Nintendo Network, as opposed to kind of having it divided between WiiWare, the DSi shop, Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, individual things for each game, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. And it does go into something that Nintendo talked about, I believe, in the fall, where they said that they were going to have it so you could view the eShop online. And I assume that when Nintendo Network gets off the ground, you will probably be able to, you know, look at all the stuff related to Wii U and 3DS online.
Yeah.
And just with, you know, finding out that Nintendo Network is going to be the name for both services, I don't think we're going to see that until Wii U comes out.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
I would guess that as well.
Yes. Also, at this financial thing, we also found out that, Iwata's into microtransactions, despite kind of being against them previously.
Yeah.
I'll just read part of the news story that Alex Kalafi wrote. Iwata stated that Nintendo plans to keep an appropriate level of flexibility in its handling of micropayments, but also remarks that Nintendo must keep a similar level of strictness to account for its younger audience. And he also further goes to detail about the idea that they want to make it easy to, you know, pay for things, but they don't want to make it too easy that it, like, you know, you unwillingly spend money.
I see.
Which I think is nice because I know some of the Facebook games do kind of put you in that position where it's like, oh, you click the button, oh, guess what, you just spent $1. Like, fuck you. But there's another quote from Iwata. We have a belief that our games should be a trusted brand for a very wide variety of consumers, including children and casual users, who are not so familiar with the trends of video games. Therefore, we would like to have regulations with a certain degree of strictness so that consumers will get a sense of reassurance from our games. And Nintendo really wants to have that extend throughout, you know, their third-party developers and publishers as well. And it is the kind of thing where I think that they might be strict with it, but at least from Iwata's words, he wants to allow other companies to do what they want. So I guess, you know, maybe we'll be seeing the dreaded EA Online Pass with Wii U, which is a little disappointing.
I can see it happening.
Yeah. But other than that, there were also thoughts about how, Iwata said that Nintendo will make their bold online move when the time is ripe, which, I mean, that... What do you guys feel about that? About Nintendo taking their sweet ass time and waiting for, you know, the instance where the majority of the consumers are online as opposed to just a fraction?
Well, if they haven't done it by now, the time when it's actually ripe better be when the Wii U launches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing I actually brought this up in the talk back. I checked to see if anyone replied to me at all. I may have started something, I don't know. But I made the comment that I was talking to a friend of mine recently about how, you know, Nintendo's online strategy is just dumb. And for the most part, you know, you can't really deny that, you know, comparing the Wii's online to 360 and PS3, it's like a joke.
Yeah.
However, you do need to take into consideration that Microsoft, you know, they're not just building the 360, they're building games for Windows Live, the actual Windows PC, and, you know, all the different versions of that, the Windows Phone. So they kind of have everything going through this one system. They've also had the foresight of being able to, you know, they've been doing Xbox Live since 04, 05.
Yeah.
And then you also have, I mean, Sony, once again, they have a lot of backing. It just so happens that Sony's so divided that they're not as unified as Windows is. or Microsoft is, rather.
Although the PSN and the PSP do share basically the same OS. It's not the same OS, but, you know,
it's very similar.
And the I personally think that the cross-media bar...
Yeah,
the Vita is different because they have that weird, like, almost... It's an iPhone, but it's not a thing.
Yeah.
They're circles, not squares.
Right.
But, I mean, that's the one thing. I think the cross-media bar is probably one of the worst user interfaces ever made. But
really? I don't mind it. I think it's
I despise it. Actually, no. I think the new Xbox dashboard is way worse than...
Man, is it ever.
Bar.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have a Kinect. Not everyone has a Kinect. Microsoft.
Everyone should go buy GameType. It's only a dollar. It's by our friends over at Mommy's Best Games, and it's hysterical. And they're actually putting in updates to make it a better game, because before it was just rushed to kind of lambast Microsoft for having such a shitty interface for downloading games. But I mean, personally, like, do I think that Nintendo's been doing a lot of great things with online? In the past, not really. I think now they are. I mean, they're getting there, baby steps, but they don't really have the backing, so they can't really take that risk. And you look at the amount of money that companies like Microsoft and Sony lose with their online strategy, and you even look at statistics that say that, you know, the majority of 360 owners don't even take their system online. I think in the Q&A, Iwata mentions the fact, or it was Iwata or Miyamoto mentioned that I think the Nintendo 3DS is their highest percentage of connected users, and it's at 60%. And now the time is ripe, and you still have, you know, not even two-thirds of your users connected online. I mean, so if you think about what it was, you know, with the DS and the Wii when they were in their heyday, that number is probably far lower. So why would you, you know, go online heavy if the majority of your consumers aren't even going to use it?
You ask interesting questions.
Do you have an interesting answer?
I actually don't, you know, I have absolutely no faith that Nintendo can come up with a working online strategy themselves for the Wii U. I mean, they've done it for the 3DS, but that's a much smaller scope. And 3DS doesn't have an Xbox Live like gaming, you know, game-to-game system. You can't even see if somebody else is playing Dead or Alive online right now. You can in Mario Kart, and I assume future games will do that too.
Well, I mean, you can. It's just the problem with a lot of those earlier online.
Well, you can't join. You can't join.
Yeah, you have to actually be in the game,
right?
And kind of have it premeditated. Like, you can back out to your friends list and see that the person's online, but there's no way to communicate with them,
right?
To be like, yo, let's play online.
So I worry about that aspect of the Wii U, and the time is right, for God's sake. Everybody's online. It's just that some people don't game online. That's the thing. I don't play online games on my PS3. That doesn't mean I'm not online with it, because I am. I like to check my messages. I like to, update my trophy list. You have to be online to do all that shit. You have to go to the PSN. You're going to be online. So they have to understand that being online is not the same as gaming online. I don't know if they understand that difference right now.
I don't think, at least that the number that Iwata or Miyamoto was referring to in the Q&A, I don't think that's saying playing online. I think that's connected was the term that they used, which, I mean, they could be referring to playing online, but I assume connected to mean people have just connected their system to the internet. They might not have done a damn thing with it, but they're connected.
I really doubt 60% of people actually played a game online on their 3DS.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, if they come out with a game that utilizes online play well, like, a Pokemon MMORPG.
Or Pokemon game,
God
period.
Forbid. Yeah, just Pokemon game, period. Everybody
like,
and their
what
dog
about Mario
would get
Kart,
online.
Dude?
Yeah, or Mario Kart. I mean, they just have to come up, and everyone played Mario Kart online on the Wii, and everyone plays Mario Kart online on the 3DS until those Mako Woohoo courses fucked it up.
Well, I mean, that's the glory of communities, is that you can
make sure
you're not playing with assholes.
Very true. Or at least you can play with the assholes you want to play with.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can do it, and they should do it. But I really hope they're not so conservative with this that they, you know, are underpower it too much. I don't want them to lowball this, because for me, that is the most important thing for the Wii U, is a competent online structure for, you know, going to the shop or gaming with your friends. If that's not in place, I don't know if I'm actually going to buy one.
I mean, I can tell you I'll be getting a Wii U kind of no matter what.
Right.
Like, review unit be damned. I will be getting a Wii U, I can tell you that much.
Right.
But that's just more my sensibility than anything else.
I know. I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm poor, and...
No, I'm there too. Don't
and
worry.
I'm busy all the time, and look, if a system's not going to have what I need it to have, I'm not going to buy it. I never play my 360 because it doesn't have games I want except for some DLC games. I have like 6 games on my 360.
I mean, I guess while you're on that, I can tell you this much, is that it'll be a very hard sell for myself to get the next Xbox or PlayStation.
Oh, me too. I mean, seriously, yes. PlayStation, I have so many concerns.
Honestly,
I have so many concerns about the PS4. I have more concerns about the Xbox. I mean, none of the systems, I mean, we don't know anything about those two, but,
yeah. Well,
you know,
I mean,
what,
I think
what
we'll
else
about,
can they do from here?
We'll,
you know
we'll
what
find
I'm
out
saying?
About the next box,
yeah.
E3, but I believe there was something that came out recently that said there's no way in hell it's coming out in 2012. So I think
yeah,
that'll get like the Wii U unveiling.
Yeah.
Like
I'm
Wii
sure.
U had last
yeah.
year.
And it'll be Kinect only or some bullshit
yeah.
like that.
Kinect box. But, I mean, that's the thing, is like, I got the PS3, it was the last, it completed the trifecta, and I honestly regret it. I've referred to it, I think, before, about how my PS3 has been broken since November, and
you
I have
care.
It packed up in a FedEx box to ship away, and it's February, almost,
right.
and I haven't set the damn thing out. That's how much I don't care.
Yeah.
Eventually, because I own Blu-rays, I'll have to do it, but...
I do
mean,
watch a lot of Blu-ray on my PS3.
I mean, that's why it is unfortunate, because I'm like, I want to watch Tron Legacy on Blu-ray. Oh, can't. Shit.
Hey, is that movie any good? I still haven't seen
it. I really dug it.
Yeah, it was really good.
That might just be me. I know there's some people that don't like it, but I really, really enjoy that movie.
Nice.
But I mean, like, that's the thing, is that, like, the PS3 to me is almost, like, worthless. It also didn't help that it was, you know, my hard drive was failing for the better part of a year before it finally just broke. I mean, the 360,
I really
play
worry
a lot
about
more.
That.
I mean, NFL Blitz on 360 is probably my favorite game of the year so far. But yeah, now we're not even talking about Nintendo anymore.
Yeah.
Let's get to listener mail.
Yes.
We have one letter from Zach. You did not put his name, but David Kotman.
David Kotman.
Right? Yes,
yep.
And I guess I will read the letter. And here it goes. David says, with all of the announcements of Nintendo Network and Nintendo embracing online at long last, the announcement of another brand new Mario game has been overlooked. Apparently there is a new 2D Mario game coming to the 3DS later this year. Do you think there is any chance that somehow they may integrate this version of the game with a possible Wii U version, more specifically New Super Mario Bros. Me? What better way to showcase the connectivity, see what I did there, I do see what you did there, man, that's good, between both platforms than with a Mario game? It would give an early start to developers on how to utilize both systems, as well as bringing an original Mario game at launch for the first time in over a decade. Do you think this could be a possibility, or is it just some Nintendo fans' wet dream? I'm right there with you, man, because I literally just said what you just said, like, 15 minutes ago.
Press
and
rewind.
I did not previously read this letter. I was like, as I was reading this, I was just like, oh, wow, we are on the same page, David Kotman. but yeah, I would not be surprised if we do see that.
It would be cool.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say about it, because
No.
I do not think it's a Nintendo fan's wet dream. Usually when you look at Nintendo, whatever they did in the past, they're going to try to do again.
Yep.
And better. They tried connectivity before. It kind of failed. That's like what the Wii U is just the answer to that.
Right. It failed in the past because the technology wasn't there.
Yeah, like in all honesty, that's true. I mean, they tried it with the Game Boy Advance, the GameCube stuff, but it was just, you know, it was such a process
to
actually do.
It cost you $700 to play this game with your friends.
I mean, you know, GamePro RIP, I wrote a feature for them that you cannot read because GamePro is dead. if you want to read it sometime. Actually,
down?
You know what? I just had a thought. I think I could just repost that now because GamePro's totally dead. So maybe I'll just do that.
Is the site actually gone though now?
Yeah, GamePro is dead. I believe some stuff is on the PC side of that, like PC Gamer or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wrote an article for GamePro that basically just went over, you know, games that had connectivity with GameCube to Game Boy Advance. And for that feature, I actually spent a day or two hanging out with friends playing all the GBA to GameCube games. Those things are awesome. Pac-Man Versus is great. Crystal Chronicles is wonderful. Although I think Crystal Chronicles is a little overrated, but it is the kind of thing where, like, I would love to see a new version of that using Wii U. I mean,
I think
how
Animal
you
Crossing
would do
had connectivity too.
It did.
Yeah, yeah. You could go to that other island. I did not.
Feature about GBA connectivity not too long ago.
Yes, I was probably too busy shilling my wares to get paid. So good job, guys.
Get paid.
I mean, on that article, you know, I also, the Tingle Tuner for Wind Waker, Four Swords Adventure.
Yep.
And those are all really fun. And I could see those coming back in Wii U in a big way because that barrier of entry is going to be buying the system.
Yeah.
How are you going to do something like Crystal Chronicles without having, you know, four people with the friggin' tablet controllers? I'm not sure.
Right.
But that's for those guys to figure out and me to enjoy. So, yeah.
And like I say, I've said it before, if Nintendo does want me to buy a Wii U on launch day, they will launch with an HD remake of Wind Waker.
Yeah, I think everyone would buy that. Just Tingle Tuner, man. Tingle
That's
Tuner
right.
for the win.
Tingle Tuner HD.
That's all it needs.
Hi, folks. We've got it's me, Zach, again. With me is Patrick Barnett again.
Hello.
And baby daddy, Drew MG, Andy Gergen.
What's up, Zach? We should just call you Mr. Connectivity because you're the one. You and Scott are the ones who are always here.
That is the running joke, even when we're not recording.
My lazy ass is taking care of a fucking baby. Oh, what a drag.
That as a word of warning.
What a cute, adorable fucking drag.
Well, at least she's cute and adorable.
She's a lot cuter when she's not screaming, I'll tell you what. But, yeah. She's
glad
cute.
To be sterile. Oh, that's all I can say.
Too many brain surgeries for you to procreate.
That's right, that's right.
At a certain point, they revoke your license.
Too much of a risk. We've all had some problems with our 3DSs, so we're going to talk about 3DS durability. And before we start, I'd like to say that I have owned, with two exceptions, every handheld that Nintendo's ever produced. I've never had hardware problems with any of them. This is the first time.
Wow. I didn't own any classic Game Boys. I did not own a handheld system from Nintendo until the original GBA, actually.
Wow.
I had a Game Gear. Wow. That was pretty awesome. But,
thing's huge. I saw one in a store not long ago, a used one in a store. I forgot how huge they are.
They are. They're gigantic. I loved my Game Gear, though. You know, I actually had a Sega Nomad, too. That thing had a few, like, design flaws. The problem with the Sega Nomad, which, if you're not familiar with the Nomad, it's the handheld Genesis that Sega put out.
Oh, that's right.
They sold it exclusively through Toys R Us, so no one ever saw one in stores, and it tanked. Which is too bad, because it was actually a really cool product, but the problem with the Nomad is that the cartridges were not designed to be handheld, and on at least 20% of the times I played a game on the thing, if I shook it the wrong way, the game would just lock up.
Oh.
Yeah. The design of the system was excellent. Huh. A giant battery hog. Actually, the Nomad...
All those early systems were.
Speaking of 3DS durability, the Sega Nomad didn't actually have a place in the system to hold batteries. So you either plug in the AC adapter, or you attached this gigantic battery pack to the back of the side of it, meaning that you had no place to put your fingers.
That's awesome.
It was well designed, trust me. The screen looked really good.
Kind of want one now.
The only problem was trying to play RPGs on it, because the text was freaking tiny, but it was still an excellent little handheld.
So I played a lot of Shining Force on the go?
Yeah, I played like an entire like two or three seasons of Tecmo Super Bowl. on the Nomad. It was the best handheld football game I think that exists today still. Anyway.
Tecmo Super Bowl.
Get my ass back on the
podcast.
What's
wrong with your 3DS, Andy?
My 3DS. So after I got my 3DS at launch, the first thing I noticed was, let's start with the big one and kind of work our way towards the smaller issues, but... And the first thing I noticed was that the greasy vertical lines that would often appear on my top screen after having my 3DS closed suddenly stopped coming off when I would wipe them off. Mm-hmm. I assumed, of course, like they were just like grease marks from your fingers touching the bottom screen frame. Because that's the problem, right? The problem is that the bottom screen sits inside of a plastic raised frame, and when you close the system, the rubber feet on the outside edge are not enough to keep that frame from touching the top screen. So as you put your hands on the system, that the grease from your hands gets on that little frame and it wipes off on the top part. So at first you think it's just greasy smudge, but for the lucky few of us who have those rubber feet that are not the proper size, I guess, those greasy lines quickly become uncleanable scratches.
Mine's at that point, too.
Yeah. And that was the first thing I noticed that just kind of made me, like, take a step back and be like, what were they thinking? Like, how could this not have come up when they were, like, looking over the design of the system to look at potential design flaws? Like, that's a big one to me.
It really is.
On top of that, also...
Another part of that problem, though, is that it doesn't have the nice grease-resistant finish that the DSi does.
No,
It's got this darn shiny finish.
Yeah, absolutely. The more I play with my 3DS, the more I admire the design of the DS, the DSi, and the DS Lite. I think even specifically the DSi, because I don't think I appreciated how nice that matte finish was until I lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with me.
Other problems I have on my screen is that... towards the middle on the bottom part of the screen, there seems to be what appears to be an uncleanable smudge mark on the inside of the screen. It's pretty small. It's probably about the size of like, I don't know, a couple of pinheads side by side. You don't really notice it unless the screen is really bright. Then it's clear that there's something there. And I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, it wouldn't have bothered me if it was by itself. And maybe it might have, but all the other things I had going on together. And, of course, the problem after that is the shoulder buttons, which seems to be everyone's common complaint. And this is apparently a problem that stretched back onto the DS Lite and the DSi, but I never experienced it. But
I remember those problems.
Yeah, one day I was playing Ocarina of Time, and I noticed that my camera wasn't centering. No, it wasn't the camera. Actually, I don't think it was the camera. It was that my Ocarina button wasn't playing the Ocarina note.
I could no longer Z-target.
Yeah, there you go. And so I, like, backed out to the 3DS menu to see if that shoulder button launched the camera, and it didn't. And I started to panic a little bit, and I think I even went so far as to fill out a repair request on the website And then I did a little bit of Googling, and I found a thread that said that occasionally foreign matter gets stuck in there, and if you just kind of blow really hard at the around the button, it will fix itself. And so I did that, and it actually did fix itself. But the problem is that this happened to me like 3 times, where it would break and then it would fix itself. So I don't know. Like, I have no confidence that this button is going to work long term.
Yeah.
And on top of all that, go ahead.
When my DSi started, it had the same trigger button problem or the RNL button problems, and I just kept blowing into it to fix it, and it just kept getting quicker and quicker. It would come back until it's basically completely a problem, and it won't go away at all now.
Oh, that's so frustrating. How long did it take for it to become an unfixable problem?
It took a while for me to actually notice that it was an issue because I was playing a lot of games that weren't L and R button compatible. But I think it was when I was playing Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, probably about a year after having my DSi, is when I really started noticing it was really bad.
I think you'll find it'll be a little harder for that to go unnoticed on the 3DS just because the games are more complicated. They're N64 ports. Like, there's a lot of N64 ports. They're going to use as many of the buttons as they can. The buttons are going to get more abuse. So if this is a problem that comes from abusing the buttons too much, it's not gonna go away, and it's gonna be more relevant. In addition to the problems that are already there, I've actually damaged my own 3DS. I had the cradle sitting on my nightstand, and I had it charging in there, and then I was browsing the web on my iPad before bed, and I put the iPad on the nightstand in the dark, and of course, what do you know, I knocked the 3DS off of the nightstand, and it chipped the corner of the R button. And I got really nervous at first because the part that chipped off actually got stuck like underneath the springy part. So it wasn't clicking anymore. But I got the little bit of plastic out, and now it works the same as it always did. It's a little bit looser cause there's just less plastic there, but it seems to work okay. When I sent my 3DS off into repair, I made a point to mention that I had done that so that they didn't try to, like, blame all of the other problems that I had on the fact that I had dropped it. I was debating, like, whether or not I should mention it and risk them calling me when they got my system and being like, we're not repairing this, you clearly dropped it. Or, you know, maybe they wouldn't even notice. I don't know, but I figured I'd bring it up beforehand just to alleviate the possibility. But yeah. I did send my 3DS off for repair. It didn't take long. Like, I had the thing back in like a week and a half, but it happened to be the week and a half when Mario Kart came out and the 3DS update came out and Pushmo came out.
Came out.
Yeah, everyone was talking about how awesome 3DS got suddenly over the course of a week. Oh, and I had just gotten a review game. The last game I reviewed for the site, actually, WWE All-Stars for 3DS. I had just played like a day of that when I decided to go ahead and send it in. So I had Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart, and WWE All-Stars. I was just sitting on waiting for the system to come back so I could get even more of the games that came out for download. But it was a good good repair experience, except for they didn't fix the smudge. They only fixed the screen with the glass
lines.
Yeah. And honestly, like, the lines are still coming back on a temporary basis, which tells me that they didn't fix the problem, which is that the feet are too small. Yeah. So I have no confidence that this problem is really fixed. But the good news is that when you mail off your system for repair, they extend your warranty for another year. At least,
that's nice.
At the very least, on the issue that they repaired. I'm a little fuzzy on whether or not, like, the extra year of warranty is full coverage or not. But
yeah.
Either way, if the lines come back anytime between now and next November, I should be set. And I mentioned the shoulder button issue to him on the phone, and he said he'd have them look into it, but I don't know. I was really kind of hoping they'd just send me a different 3DS so the R button would be fixed again. But they didn't do that, so oh well. How about you, Zach? What's your beef?
My beef is that well, I have two different beefs. My first beef is pretty similar to yours. I have the two vertical lines on my screen now that they won't go away despite many, many microcloth wipes.
Yeah.
I don't like that it's a dust magnet.
Oh, God, yeah, it is.
It really is. And then, you know, if you don't use a microfiber cloth and you try to just wipe it off with your finger, it gets finger stains all over it. And that's no fun for me. But I also have, I'm really worried about my face buttons. They feel really soft.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you hold down the A button for several games in Mario Kart, and I just start thinking, how long is this going to last? So I'm worried about those, and I am worried about the shoulder buttons because of what you guys have been saying about them. They're just so tiny.
Yeah.
And they have no weight to them, so I am worried about that. But my main gripe is the vertical lines, and after you told your story, I may as well try and send it off.
The guy on the phone that I talked to seemed to be – I think he actually said specifically that that's an issue that's come across before. Like, I don't think – you're going to have to, like, try to convince them to repair it under warranty.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to – it did not take them very long to just be like, oh, yeah, that happens. We'll go ahead and fix that.
Good. Well, you know, it's not – just doesn't seem like the best put-together system that they've put out.
Well, you know, like, with the CirclePad Pro out there – and we talked about this on Newscast, you know, once upon a time. Like, when the CirclePad Pro first was announced, like the scare was, well, of course this is definitely going to lead to the redesign, and we just got the system, we paid $250 for it, because I think the CirclePad Pro was launched, or at least just talked about, before the ambassador program really came about. I think it was but now I don't really want to buy another 3DS, but I'm kind of itching for a redesign. Like, I don't really want to spend the money, but if I have the money to spend, and that's a real big if with a, you know, baby and whatnot, but
yeah.
I would love to have a better version of this handheld right now, because I'm, like, the only thing that I don't like about the 3DS at this point is it's not the lineup anymore. The lineup's great. I don't like the way the system feels. I don't like the – it doesn't feel like it's durable. It doesn't feel like I can throw it in my backpack and be good with it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that – well, before I go into what I'm worried about, Patrick, what are your issues with the thing?
All right. Well, I have those two grease lines like you guys talked about. But also on the left-hand side, the left-hand line that appears, there's like – I have a tiny minute scratch on the screen. It's not really a smudge like you talked about earlier, but it's an actual physical scratch. I'm not sure how that got there, if it was something with the lines, like maybe something was resting on that ledge. I'm not sure. But then my other issue, I'm not sure, I was telling Zach, I'm not sure if I'm just crazy, but occasionally when the screen is brighter, I notice a horizontal line across, it's near the top section, it seems like just a row of pixels is out in the screen. I'm not sure if it's just me.
Ooh, that's not good.
I would send that in.
That's like, absolutely worth sending in.
It's barely noticeable, but it's just, occasionally I see it, I'm just like, why is that there?
You'll notice it more now.
Yeah.
That's the same with my smudge. Like, if you just looked at the screen and said, hey, what's wrong with this? You probably would, like, if you handed my 3DS to someone and said, look at the screen and tell me what's wrong with it, it would take them a while to notice the smudge. But once you see it, you can't not see it. You can't unsee that shit. Once you know there's an imperfection there at a screen you're staring at for, you know, 30, 40 minutes at a time, it's really hard not to keep seeing that over and over again every time the screen gets brighter, so it shows up.
I can't look at Otzel anymore in Pokemon Black and White without seeing the dick on his belly.
Speaking
Thanks,
of
Neil.
Things you can't see. I'm considering, you know, at some point sending my 3DS back and saying, hey, look, I asked for this to be repaired and it didn't. I don't know how they would respond to that. But they generally have pretty good customer service, so it might be at least worth the phone call that it would take. I don't know.
Now, here's an interesting thought about buying a new 3DS, Andy. Will all your games be re-downloadable?
Well, they were from DSi to 3DS, so I don't see why not.
Oh, you're right.
They have a system transfer functionality built in, so I would expect that would be the case.
I would hope so.
Whether or not your, like, friends list and friend code would get ported over is another question entirely.
Mm.
But I'm not really worried about them being able to transfer that shit. Like, clearly, that's a lesson they learned from, I would hope, many, many negative customer feedback surveys on the Wii.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to launch a new system. I mean, they have to expect that a lot of their core customers are going to buy a new 3DS when it comes out that already have one. So that's got to be built into their plan from the beginning. And if it's not, they've learned nothing. And I don't think they've learned nothing. Like, I think the 3DS experience shows they've learned quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
I think maybe they've kind of come to realize that the things that they hold near and dear about video gaming is not necessarily what their customers do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, they have this clean and clear vision for what a video game system should be about, and I think they finally come to realize that not all of their customers share that exact vision.
Right.
So they have to be flexible.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're capable of being as flexible as they need to be, I think that's a question that'll be answered with Wii U.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep saying that E3 will be really interesting this year.
I really don't see a new 3DS.
Last year, but they'll actually have to tell us what it can do this year.
Yeah, I'm keeping my expectations for Wii U very tempered, but at the same time, it's moments like this where Nintendo tends to do something unexpected and surprise us. I mean, my expectations were for Wii before I learned about what it did were actually pretty low, and I came away from E3 06 pretty excited about it. So I'm keeping my expectations tempered and kind of hoping that they do something besides show off what they showed last year at E3. Because if all they have this year is a kind of an extension of what they showed last year, I have no confidence that system will sell to anyone except for us. But I honestly don't see them announcing a new 3DS anytime soon, but maybe next holiday. Like, I don't think... I think maybe...
Do you think they'll announce it at E3? They'll be like, you know, 3DSi coming out Christmas.
Maybe. Yeah. Nothing sooner than holiday 2012. And it's got to have something more than just Circle Pad Pro and a better battery and a better form factor. Like, I think there's got to be a clear reason for it to exist besides just being better designed. Like, I don't know.
Better cameras.
Yeah, maybe better cameras. I don't know. I feel like they've already milked a lot of their customers too many times on just buying a better built version of the exact same thing. I'm not sure that... I mean, I guess the customers have shown they'll do it, so maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of feel like...
We're the problem.
Yeah. I kind of feel like maybe they can't pull that off again, just saying, it's the same thing, but built better. That kind of feels like... at a certain point, a little too much arrogance for them to repeat that same pattern over and over again. Like, at a certain point, you just got to build it right the first time, but I guess that doesn't sell us another $200 system in a year and a half, so.
Well, I certainly think that the next 3DS iteration will have a Circle Pad, you know, Pro built on, because I was genuinely surprised that Nintendo is forcing Kid Icarus to have three Circle Pad Pro support, because previously the first party stuff had ignored it. So they must be catching on that they're gonna need the second Circle Pad.
It's unfortunate that the implementation of Circle Pad Plus for Kid Icarus is limited to a left-handed mode, because I think there's a lot better use for that particular item on that game. But
yeah,
far be it for me to design their games for them.
Well, so, yeah, next 3DS will be interesting, and we should all send our 3DSs in to get fixed.
Yes, absolutely. If you have those two lines, send it in. Get an extra year on your warranty, if nothing else. Why not? Okay. Couldn't hurt.
I will.
But actually, when you do, Zach, ask them to clarify whether or not that extra year is specifically for the things that they fix or full coverage, because I'm kind of curious. I didn't really ask him to clarify, so if you wouldn't mind doing that, let me know. I'm kind of curious.
I will.
All righty. Well, that's all we got, I think. Anyway,
there you go, folks.
Anything else?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. I'm good with my soon-to-be-broken 3DS.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, folks. Yep. Thanks. Bye.
talk about the eShop games that have come out in the month of January, for the most part. Once again, I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me is Zach Miller and Patrick Barnett.
Hello.
And let's kick off with probably the thing that least interests all of us, and that's the Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. I think I got that.
I think you got that right.
Yeah, I think I got the order of that right. I played the demo, read some impressions. I'm not really that impressed. it's a Mario and Sonic game.
It was pretty boring.
Mini games. Kind of reminds me of Deca Sports Extreme, which I know Zach and I, we both reviewed that.
That was not great.
And that was like, it was okay. And I assume that this game will probably be like, you know, like, if I were to play it, I'd probably be like, eh, you know, it's not terrible, but I wouldn't really play it again. And that's what I felt about the demo, is that it's like, it's not like it was totally awful, but I would never play it again. Like, so I deleted it immediately after playing it and downloading it.
How many things do you have? How many times
30.
Did you play it? Oh, 30. Okay, well. It's pretty
each
good.
Each minigame in the demo itself, they felt like you would only play them once, and I would never go back to them again.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. Like, there were, you know, sometimes in those minigame collections, they have a good high score element, and this one, it's just like, bleh.
Did you have a favorite game out of all the five that were in
the BMX one kind of reminded me of Excitebike. That was probably my favorite.
There you go.
I like the swimming. I thought it was the most interactive.
The swimming, like, I didn't really get the swimming. Like, it seemed like you had to do the circles so quickly, but then, like, you sacrificed doing them right.
You didn't have to complete the full circle to get points. It was, like, whatever you had when it completed.
Okay.
So you could
maybe I should download this just to see how shitty it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you just play through five events. There's, like, this weird, like, target shooting game that's stupid. There's a soccer
just, like,
one.
Reflexes.
There's a soccer one that's called football, I guess, because it's the London 2012 Olympic Games.
That one was probably the worst.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And I forget
trampoline.
What
the
trampoline's okay. I mean,
it was easy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Mario and Sonic demo. I believe this week we might be getting a Metal Gear Solid 3D demo.
Oh, sweet. But I don't.
Because I have mentioned that before, and it makes sense because actually, if you look at okay, so I guess the first demo that we got was Resident Evil Revelations, comes out on February 7th. The next one that we got the week after was Mario and Sonic, comes out on February 14th. And on February 21st, Metal Gear Solid 3D comes out.
Now, from what I've heard from the Japan crew, you really need that Circle Pad Pro for Metal Gear 3.
Yeah, I mean, I played the demo at E3 and promptly stopped playing it because it was just really bad.
Don't you aim with the face buttons? That is never good.
I mean, I don't remember exactly because that was a long time ago. I just remember being really excited to play this game, going and playing the demo, and just putting it down within 5 to 10 minutes. Like, just being like, I don't even want to deal with this. And then this legitimately happened where I went from Metal Gear Solid 3D right over to Resident Evil Revelations and was blown away by Resident Evil Revelations.
Yeah.
Which is humorous because the year before when there was just the 3DS videos, I was super excited for Metal Gear Solid 3D and did not give a shit about Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh, wow.
So, what a difference a year can make.
Well, I have Metal Gear 3 on the HD now, and it's sexy, so I can't wait to see how taking pictures of things in your house and turning them into camo works.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I'm excited for this is that I play my 3DS more than any other system, and I never
played
Metal Gear Solid 3. So.
Oh, dude, it's the best one by
far. Yeah, I always wanted to play it, but it was just, I mean, I didn't really play a lot of PS2. And I think when I played Metal Gear Solid 2 on my PS2, it was when Metal Gear Solid 3 was brand new, and I didn't feel like spending $50 on it.
No, I wouldn't either. Although I bought it when it was $50, and then I bought it again when it was $50.
But, yeah, like, by the time it dropped in price, it was the next generation of consoles, and I didn't really play my PS2 too much.
When's that Circle Pad Pro supposed to come out, yo?
February 7th. Same day as Revelations. $20 at GameStop only.
Oh, that's right. Well, I won't be getting Circle Pad Pro.
Also on the eShop, we've had two virtual console games in the past month.
We talk about the eShop, I have to let our listeners know that Patrick Barnett, James Dawson, and Neil Ronahan are all dead to me.
That's because we don't think Mighty Switch Force is the second coming of Jesus. Which, ironically, Zach doesn't think so either, because he gave the game an 8.
What?
Let the record show that if you look at the review scores of the majority of the eShop games compared to Mighty Switch Force, the other games have higher reviews.
I think all of them do, almost.
Yeah, except for Sakura Samurai, but that's because that's kind of a piece
of
shit.
Didn't Danny review it, and he gave it a 9?
Oh, yeah, he did. I think he gave it an 8.5.
Okay. That's still higher than Mighty Switch Force, isn't it?
So, eat your words, Zach. I'll give you that I think there is an argument for Mighty Switch Force being better than Pushmo, which is part of the reason why, I mean, it was part of the end of the year top 10, and Pushmo wasn't. It came down to a coin flip, quite literally.
Yep.
Because we had a vote in a meeting, and it came to a tie, and I couldn't pick, so I just flipped a coin. Mighty Switch Force won. That's how we do things around here. Real scientific.
And then I hated you forever, Neil.
Yeah.
Neil's dead to Patrick.
So before we talk about the eShop download games, let's talk about the two virtual console games that came out real quick. Bionic Commando, which is the original Game Boy one, not the Game Boy Color one.
Which is much
Elite
better.
Elite Forces, which is made by NST and was seen as a lot better. I played Bionic Commando for Game Boy. I got it on virtual console, and I quite enjoyed it. It's kind of just like a smaller version of Bionic Commando, and it works well on a portable, especially with save states. I'm pretty sure it had a password system back in the day, so that probably was not fun. But with save states, it's a very entertaining game. And if you're a fan of Bionic Commando, it's totally worth the $3 or $4 that it costs. And the other game is Lock and Chase, which is apparently Data East's version of Pac-Man.
Excellent.
And supposedly it's not that terrible on the Game Boy.
Pac-Man is actually already on the eShop.
Yeah, but that version of Pac-Man is terrible.
It is.
I covered that for GamePro, and man, I wish I could have saved GamePro money by not spending money.
I own that game on the original Game Boy. Don't know why. Don't know why.
But apparently Lock and Chase is a better version of Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Or at least it's a clone. But, so that's the virtual console games. It's been kind of slowing down on virtual console, which is unfortunate. I wish we could actually see, like, eShop games and virtual console games coming out in the same week, which I think did happen one time this month.
Yeah.
Which I actually think VVVV and Bionic Commando came out on the same day, and I believe Lock and Chase might have come out the same day as Zen Pinball 3D. So let's get on talking to those games. VVVV is friggin' awesome.
Still have to buy it.
That game is incredible. If you haven't played it, like, Zach, get off this podcast and go buy it right now.
I have my 3DS right next to me.
Go get it.
I mean, I played it before the 3DS version. I played the Flash demo, and then finally when I actually joined the 21st Century and got Steam. Luckily there was a sale almost immediately after I got Steam, and I got it. Played through that. Like, 3 weeks later, I played through the 3DS version, and I just adore that game. It's, you know, great music, like, great gameplay. It's just a lot of fun. And there's a ton of bonus content in this game, too, that adds, you know, it's like, I think there's like 20 levels or so.
I think it's 18 of them.
Okay, 18.
I think it's six per page. Yeah.
So, each one of those is roughly... Well, I mean, some of them are longer than others, but probably on average, it's about the size of the main game.
Yeah, I did two of them, and two of them took me about 5 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And the main game's only, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can probably do it in an hour, hour and a half. I think it took me two.
Did you collect all the little trinkets?
I didn't get the Veni Vidi Vici one. I've never gotten that. But I've gotten, like, I think I got 18 or 19 on my first playthrough. Or at least my 3DS playthrough. Because my first playthrough was technically on the computer, and I bypassed trinkets on that one.
Did you think it was easier to control on the computer or on the 3DS?
On the 3DS, but that's more because I'm more used to it. How about you?
I've never played the computer one, but I thought it controlled easily on the 3DS.
Yeah, like I have no complaints in either platform, but I'm just more used to controlling the 3DS than I am using the computer, because I don't really play that many computer games. But seriously, Zach, buy this game.
Okay.
It is well worth the $8, I believe it is.
Well, I bought Mutant Muds for $9, so clearly that's at the... And it was not worth $9. Great game, but $9, come on.
So let's move on to the next game before we get to Mutant Muds. We'll go with Zen Pinball 3D, which is a really cool game.
It's so good.
it's four pinball tables. It looks really sharp in 3D. And it's just, you know, it's a great pinball game. I realized pretty quickly, after it came out that I'm not good at pinball compared to most other people, as my scores have been duplicated. And then I started playing Mutant Muds and stuff like that and got distracted. But I still just love playing pinball games. And these are four mostly well-designed pinball tables. Some are better than others. I like Excalibur a lot, and the End of the World one is also very cool. Patrick, what ones do you like?
Excalibur and the Space Defense table. They're by far the best. The other two, they're just, like, more flat, and there's not much going on them.
Yeah, I do not like the Shaman one.
Yeah.
Or the Uncharted one.
Yeah.
As I like to call that.
Excalibur is probably by far the best. There's so much going on because you can, I don't know, there's so much you can do.
You can joust, you can, like, fight the knight, you can try to get into Mordred's castle or whatever.
Have you gotten the multi-ball on that table yet, Neil?
I don't believe it. I think I've only gotten the multi-ball on the Earth Defense one.
Because the multi-ball is my secret, too, basically. We talked about this last week, where I was number two on the leaderboards because of some stupid online error. But now I'm back to number one. It finally recorded that score online. So, number one in the country.
Back to how it should be.
I'll have to change my name to NWR Patrick so everyone can see it.
It's not a bad idea. Now, I got Zen Pinball on my iPod Touch, and it performs poorly. So I immediately deleted it.
This performs fine. I hope these guys do follow through with DLC. They have talked about it, that they're going to do DLC, and it's just a matter of time before Nintendo kind of approves it.
Are they going to do the Marvel tables? That'd be cool.
I hope. That would be really awesome. I hope there's, like, Nintendo-flavored ones. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
But I know Aaron pointed this out, that from what they said, about 2-3 months was when we'll find out. It kind of puts it around GDC, so maybe we're going to be seeing a GDC announcement about DLC on the 3DS. Maybe some kind of reveal about it, too. So that would be kind of cool.
Isn't that around the time that Fire Emblem is coming out in Japan as well?
I think that's mid-April. GDC is the beginning of March.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
I mean, it is possible. I mean, we definitely know the DLC is coming with Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we know Zen Pinball is going to have DLC. It's just a matter of when. And their official, Zen Studio's official word is sometime in the next 2 months or something. But, yeah. Zen Pinball 3D. Really cool. And then there's Mutant Muds, which I love the crap out of. I wouldn't say by far, because there's so many good games on the eShop at this point, but it's my favorite eShop game. It's from Renegade Kid. They made Dementium and Moon. And I really just enjoyed this game. It's a great platformer. You know, the art style looks really... I mean, it's you know, retro. And it looks really nice in 3D. It has the different layers. It reminds me a lot of Wario Land Virtual Boy. And I know I've said this in the review, and I say this to pretty much everyone who asks me about the game, but this basically just feels like Wario Land Virtual Boy meets Gargoyle's Quest. And those are both two great games, so, I mean, that's a good pedigree to be compared with, in my eyes.
Now, I like the game because I think, and apparently nobody else does, it stars you.
But I'm not blonde.
And much younger. I imagine it's...
I don't even really like water.
I imagine it's little Neil Ronahan jumping around saving the world from Mutant Muds.
I mean, it was when I played the game. But then a lot of other people played the game and soiled that experience.
Some of the last levels are really, really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it does ramp up in difficulty kind of nicely. It starts off pretty easy. And then,
I actually think it's more of a... vertical slope up towards the very end.
Well, I mean, that's fine, because that's the last challenge.
Indeed. I wish there was a boss.
I mean, it just doesn't really, like... I mean, I guess there could be, but I don't think it's lacking anything by not having a boss.
I guess not.
You can kind of see the secret rooms as their own individual boss.
That's true. Yeah, the dark world stages, if you will.
Yeah, I did like how the secret worlds, they reference, you know, there's V-Land and G-Land, and they're both in the Game Boy and Virtual Boy kind of color hues.
Oh, man, I wish that the character sprites were black and white and red, too.
Oh, they're not in those?
No, they're not. They're colored.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me sad.
I still think it looks really cool.
I didn't find those challenge rooms to actually be too hard.
All that challenging.
No.
Well, it reminds me of like the challenge stuff from A Boy and His Blob, where it's not necessarily that it's that much harder, but it's more concentrated.
You gotta focus a little more.
Like, there might be like a trick to it, that once you figure out that trick, you'll be able to get through it. I mean, there were a couple stages that gave me hell, but for the most part, I mean, it would just be a matter of time, you know, I might get screwed over by an enemy, and, you know, that might happen, but, yep.
Good game. Everyone should get it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it, just like the other two games we mentioned.
Which I should buy.
Yeah, and to wrap up this segment, we're going to talk about the game that, by the time you hear this, will already be out, and that's Sakura Samurai Art of the Sword. That's published by Nintendo, and I found out today, actually, it's developed by Grounding, which is people that, like, they did, like, I think they worked on, like, the Panzer Dragoon stuff. They're working on Project Draco for, Kinect, and supposedly they did Sakura Samurai. Although this was just someone on NeoGAF mentioning this, so I haven't really been able to check the validity of that. But it seems to make sense. Like, you know, Japanese company making this game just seems logical.
Right.
Because Sakura Samurai is basically, to put it succinctly, it's like Punch-Out in feudal Japan. But if they tried to, like, make Punch-Out a full game, but just have the same gameplay. So what it is that, like, you go through these different stages that are really just single, for the most part, except for the three, like, boss stages of the different regions. Just single-screen things where there's a mess of enemies, and you attack them one at a time. And, you know, you have to dodge and then attack, and you need to look at their tails and stuff like that. So very, very Punch-Out-esque. And you have a couple items you can use. You have, like, a health item. You have something that'll sharpen your blade, because your blade, if you, like, mess up, it'll dull and do less damage. Mm. There's also frogs you can throw at enemies. And also, like, throwing knife things that you can throw at them, too. But, I mean, that's the entire game. You know, dodge, attack, dodge, attack. And that's the majority of the stages, and you basically have to grind through those areas. You want to, you know, get coins and stuff, so that way you can go to the town, which there's three different towns, and they all look different, but they're really just the same exact thing. There's an inn that you can sleep at and heal, and the inn's also the only place you can save, which seems kind of dumb for a portable game, because you can only save when you go to the inn. And there are only three inns in the game, and let's say there's something like 25 stages, like, it's kind of, I mean, just like, you know, save and quit or something would have been nice, but it's just kind of frustrating. I actually did have a moment where I thought it did save automatically early on, and then I just had to restart the game.
Oh.
But it's like, because they don't tell you, like, you know, this is how it saves. And I mean, granted, I'll give that a little bit to me, you know, being a gamer of the modern age, just kind of used to everything saving automatically. But, you know, it's a handheld. Like, that's kind of, it's kind of silly. And also in the town, there's, you know, a shop where you can buy items. There's a blacksmith that you can either level up your sword. You can level up your sword once per town, so you can get up to a level 4, at least in the first run through. And you can also sharpen your sword to, you know, make it all nice. And there's also some mini games where it's just like, you know, time the slices to cut fruit. And then you get more gold. And then you buy more stuff. And you beat the game. You unlock some like the gauntlets. You unlock expert mode, which is just the game but a lot harder. The same game. The bosses are really cool though. The bosses are, you know, a lot bigger than your character, and they're usually a lot more challenging. That's kind of where the variety comes out. Because other than that, it's just kind of the same crap over and over again. It's not like it's terrible. I mean, the game looks really nice, but it doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it kind of just builds and builds and then ends. Or it doesn't even build. It's just the same damn thing the whole time.
Does the 3D effect add anything, or is it just there?
I mean,
there?
It looks nice. Like, I mean, gameplay-wise, not really. It just looks nice.
Like, in Mutant Muds, it actually added because of the layered effect of...
Yeah, I would have to turn on the 3D effect in Mutant Muds sometimes, just so I can know, like, what area I'm jumping in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not like it's a terrible game. I'm a little surprised at all the rave reviews it's getting from people. But, I mean, it's not like it's terrible. If you buy it, you might enjoy it. Like, I didn't despise it. I just don't think it's that good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I'm rambling.
These things happen.
I guess next month, if we do another one of these, we'll be talking about, I assume, maybe that Jet Rocket surfing game. Color is 3D, so that means we won't be talking about that. That's just like a drawing app, so maybe Zach will be all over it.
Yay.
And Dylan's Rolling Western might be coming out next month, for all we know.
Were those other two confirmed for February releases?
No, they're just the only ones that I've seen listed as Q1.
I'm just hoping that the eShop doesn't dry up.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, we're also, there's a, oh yeah, Samurai Sword Destiny came out in this time frame too, I believe.
I guess Zach.
Zach? Do you have anything to say about Samurai Sword Destiny?
It's shitty.
Okay, moving on. UFO Interactive is also putting out another game that people seem to think looks really good, but Samurai Sword Destiny was pretty bad.
Right.
And this is just like a rhythm game where you're like, I think it's, what is it, Zombie Slayer Dio? And you're like a rocker who has to, you know, time things to destroy zombies, and it looks like it's the same thing as Samurai Sword, or right, Samurai Sword Destiny. That's the name of that
right,
one. It's not Samurai
Sword
Samurai.
Destiny. Yeah.
Too many damn
really
samurai
cheesy.
Games. Yeah, but it's the kind of stuff where it's just like you're really zoomed in on the sprites. It looks like a freaking giant Neo Geo game like that, where the sprites are huge. I don't know. I mean, people seem to like the trailer. I seem to remember that. It's UFO Interactive and don't care.
Yep, exactly.
But, yeah, that's the eShop. eShop is best shop.
It is.
I think we can all agree on that. It's pretty awesome. I hope it keeps up. I hope it doesn't falter.
Oh, me neither.
At least when it does falter, hopefully there's a lot of good 3DS retail games to come out. And maybe we'll get some more virtual console stuff, too, because I love that.
Yeah.
Alright, well that'll wrap it up for episode 20 of Connectivity. Fifth of the way to 100. Can't wait. As always, you can send us listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And if you get a chance, as I always say, if you could just review us on iTunes, we would greatly appreciate it. We seem to get a new one every week or so, and we love reading them and love getting them, so thanks a lot. And yeah, we'll see you next week.